Well, I want y'all to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. I'm going to start there. All right. I do have quite a few scriptures I'm going to look at tonight, but I want you to, this is my thought. This is what I want you to think about. Just kind of get in your heart. Prayer takes time. Prayer takes time. We get in our life, especially these days, we are so impatient. And a lot of times we just, instead of praying, we just worry, Instead of praying, we complain. Instead of praying, we try to fix things. We try to manipulate things. We try to make things happen. And I want y'all to think about this tonight. I want you to think about what are you praying for right now? What are you needing to see happen in your life? Okay, is there a situation? Is there a person? Is there a relationship in your family? A relationship with the husband, wife? Son or daughter, what is the situation? I don't know about you, but lately I've really been burdened for some of my friends to get saved. I want to see some people get saved, and I've seen the Lord do that here in the last couple of years. I have me and Isabella, we have a prayer list that we pray almost every day. Not every day, but we have just different people that we know outside of the church that don't know the Lord. And we have a couple of scripture verses that that we read that the Lord is saying, "Hey, I want you to pray for these people. I want people to get saved." That's what He's saying in Romans. And then he says, if two of you agree here on earth, and we pray those scriptures, and then we have this list of people that we pray through. And I'm here to tell you, in the last few months, even the Lord has saved a couple people off that list, and it's been so neat. And it's been people that I never would have dreamed of really gotten saved. It was people that I was praying for, but I really didn't think they would get saved. And it just goes to show you, prayer does work, prayer does matter, and prayer takes time. And I want y'all to kind of resonate that with your heart tonight. And what is it that is burdening you here lately that is bothering your peace? Is bothering your, you wake up thinking about it, you go to sleep thinking about it. What is it that is burdening you so bad? And I want to encourage you tonight that, hey, keep praying about it. Don't give up. Keep praying. Prayer takes time, and we're going to look at some of these scriptures of why that is, okay? And I'm just going to read to you Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." So one thing we got to remember, in our life, in our relationship with God, in our prayers, we have to have faith. We have to have belief. We have to, first of all, when you're wanting to pray about a situation or a person or whatever, you have to get alone with God and get quiet before the Lord, and even kind of find out how to pray. Let Him put it upon your heart how to pray or what needs, because just because you think you know what needs to happen in that person's life, I promise you, it's usually a million miles different from what you think needs to happen. And so you take that time and you let the Lord put that on your heart. But faith is that belief that is a substance, okay? Faith is a substance. Now, we can't feel it, we can't see it, we can't touch it, but it's a substance that is required by God. He's like, if you don't even believe I can do it, if you don't even believe I will do it, if you don't even believe I want to do it, then it's not going to happen. You got to at least believe. And we know it doesn't take a whole lot. It doesn't take a whole lot of faith. It doesn't take a whole lot of belief. And I don't know about you, but I know sometimes my prayers are not that strong, I'm just barely getting them out, and I don't even know what to say half the time, But I'm just saying, hey, Lord, I put this person in your hands. I put this situation in your hands. And he makes up for it. He makes up for what we can't say or what we can't do. And so, but faith is required. We have to have that belief deep down inside of us that God does want to do something in that person's life. God does want to save that person. And you have to fight that battle inside of you, because there's going to be days you wake up and the enemy and the world is going to be in your flesh is going to be piling up on you, and you're going to have those negative thoughts of, it's never going to happen. I'm not seeing the change in that person's life. I'm not seeing the change in that situation that I want to see. In fact, it's going the opposite direction. It's getting worse. Faith is required. Never, you in those moments where you're wanting to give up, you're wanting to give in to that voice of whatever, wherever that voice is coming from, you have to remind yourself, no. God is good. God is with me. God cares about this situation. God is going to do something. And you just got to give him time. You got to give prayer time, because we're dealing with people and we're dealing with situations, and we live in a fallen and sin-cursed world where God's will doesn't automatically just happen. Matter of fact, his will, if we'll look around, God's will is rarely ever happening on earth. That's why he tells us in the Lord's Prayer, you need to pray for God's will to happen on earth as it is in heaven. You know, he requires our prayers. He requires our faith. All right. And let's look in Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Luke chapter 18, verse 1. So prayer takes time, but prayer takes persistency. Prayer takes persistency. And this is what he says. I'm going to read 1 through 8. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, and men ought always to pray and not to faint. And that just means not to give up. And that's what I'm talking about. He's telling you we must always pray and never give up, never lose heart. We're going to be tempted to, okay? We're human. We're going to have good days and bad days. We're going to have those moments where our faith is falling by the wayside a little bit. But you got to remind yourself. God is good. God is all powerful. He's on the throne. He's your creator. He is holding this whole universe together. He put this whole thing together and he sustains it. Not just is he sustaining the stars, the moon, whatever else is out there, the clouds, the universe, the galaxies. Not only did he create it and sustain it, he created you and he's sustaining you. You are not keeping yourself together. He is doing it. Verse 2 says, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city. And she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary, my enemy. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he hear long with them? Listen to what God is saying. I know this is he's given us this to us as an example to be persistent in our prayers, but I don't think God is necessarily an exact example of this judge, because he does care, you know, and he's saying this. This judge says, I don't fear God, and I don't care about man. But you know what? I'm just tired of this lady bother me. How many of you have ever been tired of a lady bother? I'm just kidding. He says, I'm just tired of this lady coming day after day after day after day. What God is showing, he's giving you an example. He's like, this, your prayers have got to be persistent. You can't just pray one time and it doesn't happen. And you just forget about it. You just move on. You know, what is it on your heart that means so much to you that you are willing to spend weeks, months, even years? You guys have heard people's testimonies that they were praying for somebody for years, 20 years or so, and that person got saved. Did you have anybody in your life worthy of you putting in that kind of time? You know, I hope so. You know what would be at the bottom of that? What would be at the foundation of that? You being willing to pray for somebody that much? It's love. If you really love people, if you really love that person, or love, you know, care about the situation, you'd be willing to put in that kind of effort. And the last verse there, verse 8, it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? He's saying, hey, when I come, am I going to find that faith? Is he going to find that faith in you? Is he going to find that faith in me? As we get closer to the end times and it seems like people care less and less about the things of God and they just don't value the things of God, you know, we got to make sure that that same attitude doesn't creep into our hearts. And he says, am I going to find you faithful, seeking after me, praying and caring about the people and the different things in your life? I don't know about you, but as you get older and you walk with the Lord and you just realize, hey, a lot of this other stuff just doesn't matter. You know, what's going to matter at the end of the day? What's going to matter at the end of the day is that my family walks with God. My family knows the Lord. My children walk with God, and my children know the Lord. Some of my, as many as my friends and my family that I can get, walk with God, help them walk with God, and help them to get to know the Lord. There's really nothing else matters, you know. The disciples come to Jesus, and they were learning and figuring things out, and they cast out a few demons and that kind of stuff, and they thought it was all neat, and Jesus kind of checked them. He says, you know what? You don't need to be so excited that you could cast out demons in my name. You need to be excited that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, and at the end of the day, that's all that's going to matter. You know, can you imagine? Can you imagine just being so focused on this world, so focused on the day-to-day, the going to work, doing this, doing that, you know, and as you're young, you're excited about what's coming next. You know, you're going to graduate high school, then you're going to go to college, then you're hoping to find a boyfriend or a girlfriend, and you're hoping to get married, and you get married, and then you're excited, you want to get a house, then you get a house, then you get a child, and it's okay, you keep going, you keep looking forward to something. But wise people have that eternal perspective and understand that all this is temporary. It's not going to last. You know, and at the end of the day, 100 years from now, we're all going to be somewhere. We're all going to either be with the Lord or we're going to be without the Lord in eternity in hell. And that, I don't know about you, but that matters. That should matter more to you and me than anything else in this world, that we ourselves and our families are going to be with the Lord, and as many people as we know that we can help convince and help them get there. I pray that that would be our prayer. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So big thought is prayer takes time. It requires faith. Faith is that thing that is required. If you want your prayers to be heard, if you want your prayers to move, to make things happen, and I'm here to tell you that that is how things happen spiritually. If you want to see things happen spiritually, it happens through your prayers. And then he says, be persistent in prayers. Now, here's the why. I want to get to the why. Why does he say it this way? Why does he say, hey, be persistent in your prayers. Don't give up. Just because the situation looks bad, just because it looks like the situation is getting worse, all right, that's where faith comes in. That's where the hope comes in of, hey, hope is I believe something good's going to happen. I believe God is going to come through in the end. And it's not a wishful, oh, I wish this will happen. No, it's a no-so. It's a confidence. I know God's going to do something. I don't know exactly how he's going to do it. I don't know exactly when he's going to do it, but I know he's going to do it. And I'm willing to pray. I'm willing to keep praying till that happens. And he says persistency matters in your prayers. And this is the next few scriptures we look at. I think this is going to answer the reason why. Why does persistency matter? And persistency matters because there are things going on around us that we can't see. There are things going on in people's hearts that we can't see. And it matters that we are continually going to the Lord. So look at Mark chapter 4, verse 26. I will say this. Prayer is a process. Okay? Prayer is a process. Get it in your heart and get it in your mind that it takes time for whatever it is that you want to see happen in your life or in someone else's life. It takes time. And look at verse 26. It says, and he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground. Okay? So first of all, you got the planting. The man is, he's planting the seeds. So it's like when you are praying, you are planting those seeds, those spiritual seeds of whatever it is that the Lord wants to see happen. You know, you can pray what you think needs to happen, but always in your heart say, Lord, it's more about what you know what needs to happen in this person's life. You know what needs to happen in their heart. And so you're just praying. So you're planting those seeds with your prayer. And then verse 27 says, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. So I want y'all to think about this. That farmer or the person that's planting that seed, he goes on, he plants that seed and he goes on with his life. You know, he goes to sleep at night. He sleeps okay at night. And that's something I think that we need to understand. God doesn't want us to be overly burdened down all the ways. Now, there's definitely a need to be burdened. There's definitely a need for our emotions to be affected when we're thinking about different people and different situations in our life. But he doesn't want you to not be able to function in life. He wants you to learn to pray and put those things in his hands, and you go do your thing. You go to sleep at night. You get up in the next day, and that farmer, he would plant his seed, and he would go to bed. He would get up the next day, and he would do his thing. And of course, we know in the farming world, he's watering, he's fertilizing, he's plowing. You know, he's preparing that ground, that soil around the seed, and so forth. But at the end of the day, he's at rest. He's at peace because he knows, he doesn't know exactly how, but he knows that seed's going to come forth. Okay, because it's a good seed. And that's exactly what it says at the end of 27. He says, he knoweth not how. He doesn't know how it's going to happen. And so when you, he doesn't know how it works, all right? And that's the same way with us and the Lord in prayer. We don't know how it works, okay? I've tried to analyze prayer and figure it out exactly, well, how exactly does it work, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I can't really explain it. I just know it works. I just know he tells us to pray. And he requires our prayers. He doesn't just do things if we're not praying. He waits for people to pray. He waits for his children to pray. And the best thing I can come up with, it's like a little child coming to the Father and just asking for something. And what does that good Father always do? If that Father loves that child, he gives that child attention. And he wants to hear what that child has to say. And many times he works on that child's behalf if what that child is asking is good and is right and is needful and is a good thing for that child. And so I can't really tell you how it works. I just know it works. Verse 28 says, for the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. So I want you to think about it like this. Prayer is a process, okay? So when you're praying for someone or you're praying for a situation, look for those little signs. Look for those little things in their life that, hey, maybe God is working, okay? I know something happened last week that totally threw you back, and you're like, I can't believe, you know, and you kind of lost your positivity about the situation or whatever. But give God time and just look for that little blade. He says, look for the blade and then the ear, and after that, the full corn of the ear. It'll come to fruition. It will happen. You just got to give it time. And verse 29 says, but when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. Okay, so when you're thinking about people in your life or situations, but I'm particularly just burdened tonight about people I know that are lost and I want to see them get saved. You know, you gotta be praying. I like to say you pray 99% of the time and then you speak 1% of the time. And you learn in time. Man, I gotta be led by the Lord. I gotta be led by the Holy Spirit. I can't just be saying whatever I want to say, you know. I can't just be doing whatever I want to do. If you are coming upon a situation and you don't know exactly what to say or what to do, and you don't have that peace or that confidence from the Holy Spirit, then don't say it. You know, don't take that chance. You know, make sure the Lord is leading you and guiding you. And I don't think it all rides on us. You know what I mean? I don't think that a person's salvation necessarily all depends on that. We say exactly everything perfect and all that kind of stuff. It gets messy sometimes. We do the best we can, and we try to say what we feel like the Lord is leading us to say, and sometimes it's right and sometimes it's not. You know what I mean? But I do believe the Lord picks up the pieces and he can use things that we don't even understand or believe that he can use. But prayer is a process, okay? But what he's saying is, if you give it time, little by little, you plant the seed with your prayer. Sometimes you say some things into people's life here and there as the Lord gives you opportunity, and you're planting that seed, and you give it time, and you keep praying, you keep watering, you keep fertilizing. Little by little, you're going to see some signs. You're going to see some things take place. And at the end of the day, you're going to see a result. And I would say this, don't ever let those doubts creep up in your heart that what it is that you want to see happen so bad in someone's life. Don't ever let those doubts stay there. You're going to get them from time to time, but don't let them stay there. The Bible says to capture those thoughts. Capture those negative sinful thoughts. Hold them captive, all right? And say, is this really what God thinks? Is this really what Christ wants to be going through my heart and be going through my mind? And then you have to take responsibility for your own heart and accountability for your own heart. If you're down and out and all that kind of stuff, no one can help you but you and the Lord. And you got to pick yourself up and you got to build yourself back up in the Lord and get your heart and your mind on the Lord and good things and remind yourself, get your heart and your mind back in the Word and get your faith built up. That's how it happened. And we're going to look at same chapter, but just kind of back up a little bit. Verse 14. So prayer has a process that we just saw. But also, why does prayer take time? It is a process, but prayer takes time because there is a resistance. There is a resistance to our prayers. And so again, we gotta kind of get out of this mindset that, oh my goodness, I prayed one time and nothing happened, you know, and I'm just gonna move on. God's not gonna do anything. No, there's a reason nothing happened, okay? You gotta keep praying, you gotta stay after it. In verse 14, this is talking about the seed. So prayer has a resistance, and this is where it is. Okay, it's in people's hearts. All right, we're dealing with all kinds of different people, and all kinds of different situations. Not everybody came from the same background that you came from. Okay, and so you're trying to get somebody from A to Z. You can't just skip all the other letters. You gotta go A, B, C, D, E, yeah. I have to stop because I don't know the rest. No, I'm kidding. But you know what I'm saying? You gotta take them through the process there. And so you can't just skip all the steps. So there is a resistance, and you have to understand people's heart. Everybody has a different heart. Everybody has a different background that they come from. So verse 14, we're talking about the parable of the soils and the different hearts and so forth. It says, the sower soweth the word, verse 14, verse 15, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. All right, so we're talking about prayer has resistance. We're talking about Satan right there. Satan comes in and causes disruption and so forth. You say, well, how can that happen? It's because we live in a fallen world. When Adam and Eve sinned, they invited, you know, Satan to be the little god of this world, the little g of this world. He has areas, and he has ways that he can work. He can get strongholds in people's life. He can get a foothold in people's life, and he has a little bit of authority to do those types of things. And so, you know, when people are not saved and they're just living their life and they're just living in sin and they're doing all those kinds of stuff, they are inviting the enemy to come in and have a stronghold in their life. And the way that they think and the way that, you know, the things that they value and so forth. So Satan has that ability to be able to come in and disrupt. And so that's why he's saying, be persistent. Be persistent in your prayers. In verse 16, it says, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness. All right, they're excited to receive it at first and have no root in them in themselves. And so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So these people, you know, they get excited. First of all, this is just the type of heart, the type of person that they are. They get excited and they receive it. But then, hey, some affliction, some hard times come. And then they start getting resistance from some of their friends and some of their family. And they realize, hey, if I'm going to really follow the Lord, if I'm going to really walk with the Lord, I'm going to lose some friends. You know, some family members are going to turn their back on me. And these things start happening and it offends them. It's like, oh my goodness, I can't continue on in this. I can't keep going. And so that's what I'm talking about. There's resistance. These are, I would say, like the heart of that person. They're just not a strong-hearted person, you know. You got some people that, man, they can stand on an island by themselves and they don't care if they're the only ones there. But you got others, man, that they got to have a whole group of people around them and they're not going to do anything that makes them stand out. And so you're dealing with a lot of different types of people, a lot of different types of hearts. All right, in the next verse it says, and these are they which are sown, verse 18, are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entertain in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So you think about this, you know, these people are very easily influenced by their surroundings. And so this may be a person that you're praying for and they're just kind of simple-minded, you know, and they just kind of go with the flow, and they got a lot of different influences around them, and then also, like in verse 19, they get focused on this world. They get attached to this world. They value the things of the world, and they don't value the things of God. They get their eyes on riches. They get their eyes on money, and they want to go after money, you know. And those of us that are saved, you know, and know that we're going to spend eternity in heaven or hell, we're like, hey, money's not going to help you in heaven. And money's not going to help you in hell. There's no reason to make it the priority of your life. You know, everybody needs it, and we got to have it, and we're called to work and all that kind of stuff. But it shouldn't be what you wake up for every single day, and what you're trying to strive. What good's it going to do you when you take your last breath? And it says, and the lust of other things entering in, just all the things that this world has to offer. This person's heart is just drawn to, and they just value the things of the world, and they don't value the things of God. So when we're praying, we got a lot of resistance. We got a lot of things going on. We got Satan resisting people. We got different people with different types of heart. We got different influences that are going on. And so we got to keep praying. We got to keep praying for these people in these situations. But what is neat that what happens many times, and it doesn't always happen, is verse 20. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100-fold. And so what he's saying there is that, hey, it's worth it, because every once in a while you're going to see something awesome happen. You're going to see your prayers answered. You're going to see somebody's life change, and it's going to change in a dramatic way, and they're going to help. They're going to help build the kingdom of God. They're going to do a lot of great things. They're going to let God do a lot of great things in them and through them. And so he's just saying, don't give up. You know, prayer takes time. Prayer is a process. Prayer has resistance. Your persistency matters. And I want to share one more thing. Daniel chapter 10. Some of you know what this passage is about. But I think it's neat to see, and again it kind of reiterates the fact of, hey, you can't just pray one time and expect magical things to happen. You know what I mean? Sometimes it will. All right. Sometimes that's all it takes. But most of the time it's a process. And this is kind of eye opening right here. Daniel has prayed and asked the Lord, you know, to do something. And you're gonna see the resistance here, okay, in the spirit realm with angels and demons. And we'll start in verse 2, chapter 10, verse 2. It says, in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. He's talking about he's going on a 21-day fast. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth, neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. So he saw was an angel. All right, and then I'm going to skip a few verses here and go to verse 12. In verse 12 it says, then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. And I am come for thy words. What he's saying is this: when you chastened yourself, he's saying you humbled yourself by when you went on that fast. When you decided to deprive yourself of that food, he says, your prayers were answered by God in that moment. So what I'm saying here is, and I'll finish reading here in just a minute, but prayer sometimes requires fasting. I know we don't want to hear that. I know that's not something we enjoy these days. But Jesus, he talked about it quite a bit. He says, it's not that you need to fast here and there. He's like, no, you gotta be fasting. It's gotta be a part of your life. And what I'm saying here tonight is prayer takes time, prayer is a process, prayer has resistance, and sometimes your prayers, if you just think about it like this. Is there something in your life that you need to see happen? That is such a big deal. You need to see a change in someone's life. You need to see someone get saved. That you love them so much. You care about them so much. That you're willing to go without food. Is there any kind of situation like that in your life that you need to see happen? Now it's not something probably that happens that often really. But I promise you, you're going to come across. And I know some of you older folks have already been there. You're going to come across situations in your life where you are so burdened and so downtrodden that you're willing to do it. And it's not something that you just do flippantly. It's not something that you're chewing bubble gum and you just decide, oh, I'm going to fast tomorrow. No, I believe the Lord begins to kind of put it on your heart. He begins to kind of bring it up and so forth, and you begin to think about it, and then you begin to correlate it with this situation. And then at the end of the day, there's a time where he just cements it in your heart and says, now's the time. You need to pray, and you need to be fasting right now. And so I'll finish verse 13. It says, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 1 and 21 days. And what is happening is here, this angel is telling Daniel, he says, when you prayed, when you first humbled yourself by fasting, your prayer was answered. But I was met with opposition spiritually in the demonic realm. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia, that's who he's talking about, withstood me 1 and 20 days. But lo, Michael, the archangel, one of the chief princes, came to help me. And I remained there with the kings of Persia. So Michael had to come and help. And he remained there with that demonic force and whatever they were doing, battling it out, however that works, however that looks. And that angel was able to go and get to Daniel and get his prayer answered. In verse 14, he says, now I am come to make thee understand that what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. So what he's answering Daniel's prayer. So you think about all this, you read all this, and you look at it, and you're like, man, prayer is almost the most important thing in your life. At the end of the day, it's all you got. And it's not something that we should wait till we got nothing else. It should be the first thing that we turn to. But it should definitely always be the thing we turn to with the most importance in our heart and the most trust in our heart and value of knowing, I can try to figure this thing out. I can try to figure this situation out. I can try to manipulate this situation. I can try to manipulate this person to do what I want them to do by trying to say this and say that. But as you grow, I believe, in your walk with the Lord, you're going to begin to realize all that's a waste of time. And the most important and the best thing you can possibly be doing is just quietly praying in your heart for everything. He says, pray without ceasing. Pray about everything that the Lord brings upon your life and in your path. And he's saying here tonight, you need faith. Faith is that substance that is required. You've got to keep that hope and that faith and that belief in your heart that something good is going to happen. And you may want to see that person get saved. You may want to see that person come back to the Lord, whatever it is. God knows what needs to happen, but you got to have that faith in your prayers. And he says persistency matters. And these are the reasons why it matters, because it is a process. Prayer is a process. There is resistance. And we saw those two verses. And sometimes it does require fasting. Sometimes it does require fasting. And then again, I ask you that question. What has burdened you so bad, or what would you like to see happen so much in your life or in someone else's life that you're willing to go without food? And I believe that one of the big reasons that angel was able to push through and get through that battle was because Daniel was fasting. And because you say, well, what does fasting do? Well, fasting, it chastens themselves. It humbles yourself. You're showing God, I'm serious about this thing, God. I'm not just playing around. We're not just playing games here. I'm serious. It's pretty serious when you're willing to go without food, don't you think? And so it makes a difference. And so what I'm asking you tonight, what is it that's on your heart that you want to see God do? Is there a person that you want to see God work in their heart? Is there a relationship that you want to see restored? Is there a person you want to see get saved? Is there a job situation you need help with? Is there finances you need help with? Whatever it is that you need God to do in your life, have you been praying about it? Have you had that faith? And there's one thing I think you can realize, you can see, is that if you haven't been praying, it's because you don't believe. You don't believe it's real. You don't believe it matters. You don't believe God will do something. And maybe it's not that you don't believe God won't do something. You just don't believe he will do it for you. You think he'll do it for other people, but you're not sure he'll do it for you. And I'm here to tell you he will. You are just as valuable. You are just as important to God as anybody else. And you say, well, does it matter how I live my life? Yeah, it does. Does it matter that I walk with God and seek God and do what's right and all that kind of stuff? Yeah, it does. But at the end of the day, you need to realize just you in and of yourself being saved and being a child of God, you are very valuable to God and you're very precious to God. And he wants to hear from you. He wants to commune with you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And he wants to do things on your behalf for you. And as you grow into that love relationship, you will gain more and more confidence to know that, hey, God does hear my prayers. God is with me. God never leaves me. And he is, even when you don't know it, even when you don't feel it, he is working in your life. He is in control of what is going on and what he's allowing in and out of your life. And I promise you, it's all a part of a great plan that he has for you. And I want to ask you tonight, just bow your heads and close your eyes. And Miss Lisa, if you come play just a verse or two of Invitation. And I just want you to, you know, ask yourself this question tonight. You know, what is it? What is it maybe that situation that is going on in your life that maybe you haven't been praying? Maybe you've given up. And I want to ask you tonight. I want to ask you tonight to not give up. I believe God wants to do something in our lives. I believe he wants to do something in this church. But it's going to require that we pray. It's going to require that we seek the Lord and we walk with the Lord. If the Lord's burdened your heart about anything tonight, Miss Lisa, play a verse, and if you'd like to come pray, come pray. Another verse or two, Miss Lisa. Anybody else have something on their heart you need to pray about? I promise you it matters. I promise you. It matters that you actually say it to God. Put it in his hands and you leave it up to him. And I promise you he'll do it. It may not look exactly the way you want it to look, the outcome, but I promise you he'll come through.